morning, Chicagoland. On this early Sunday morning, it's Dave Player on 720 WGN. So have you ever fantasized about quitting your job and going off to hike in the rainforest, travel around Europe, or join a rock band? What if you were told you could do that and gain substantial financial security in a few years' time and possibly walk away from that great-paying corporate job to live the life you've always wanted? Well, there's a new book out, and it is called 25 is the New 65, How to Retire Outrageously Early and Do Whatever the Heck You Want. It shows you how to hack all aspects of your budget to minimize your spending and supercharge your savings. And once you have all this extra cash laying around, the book will show you how to invest to give yourself a substantial amount of financial independence. And joining us to break that all down this morning is the author, and that's Travis Hornsby. Good morning to you, Travis.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay?
Absolutely. Absolutely can. So you kick off the book, which I love. It's a quote from the movie Office Space. A lot of time on this earth. We weren't meant to spend it this way. Human beings weren't not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms, and listening to eight different bosses drone on about a mission statement. Was that your inspiration to find a way to retire early?
Well, it was my ex post facto inspiration. The real inspiration probably came about a year ago when I was sitting at work, kind of wondering what I was supposed to be doing that day. Hadn't gotten guidance from my boss and was kind of bored, and just got kind of frustrated with it all and fed up. And then I realized that I could retire early if I plan my finances the right way. But I will say that we did watch Office Space for my going away party before I went away to Iceland this weekend. That was a lot of fun.
That's fantastic. Now, one of your first suggestions, Travis, is about spending less and living more. And one of the first things you should do is look at your credit card statement and see how you're spending your money that you don't have.
Right. So I just think that people have to realize when they're making a spending decision, they're making a trade of hours in their life for whatever they're buying. And in a lot of cases, that's fine, right? Like if you want to buy a Coca-Cola, that probably only costs a couple minutes of your time. But if you buy a car and you finance that car for $600-$700 a month, you're literally making the trade of several days of your life doing something that you might not actually like doing in exchange for having that shiny new vehicle. And when you think about it in that way, a lot of personal finance spending decisions don't make a lot of sense.
So it's all about, by the way, if you're on, are you on a speakerphone by chance? Because I'm getting a little background noise that might be a little hard to hear on the radio.
No, I'm just calling from Reykjavik, Iceland. So
okay. Okay, no problem. So it's all about budgeting and really looking at your wants and needs, because, obviously we spend a lot of money pretty frivolously. It's living within your means that's pretty important.
Exactly. So most people can actually live on a lot less than they think they can. You can live with a $1,200, $1,300 a month apartment, but if you do that, you're going to be working until 65. And right now I'm traveling around Europe for the next 4 or 5 months, averaging maybe about $50 a day in spending. So that works out to an annualized rate of around $15,000 a year. And in the book, I talk about how I come to these numbers, but about $15,000 a year means you need about $400,000 to kind of live that lifestyle in perpetuity. And I think a lot of people don't realize that.
Well, you talk about, and I love this part, you talk about seeing many of your friends getting married and feeling the immediate need to buy the big house and go right into debt. And that's a really great point, is I think people feel like when they hit that milestone, first of all, when people get married, the cost of a wedding could top $30,000-$40,000 for sometimes two people that are still in the first 3, 4, 5 years of their job. They're still paying off their college tuition, so they've got that expense as well. Now they're paying for the wedding. Then they feel like they got to go buy the big house. They have the big fancy cars, and that's what gets a lot of us into trouble and pushes off that retirement until you're in your early 70s.
Right. Well, like one of my friends the other day said, Travis, I just don't see how we're going to be able to do this wedding for less than $140 a head, and I laughed because. I went to a wedding in the South the other day, and a bunch of the extended family brought dishes they made at home. They decorated this random hall in this state park and actually made it look pretty legit. And the whole wedding itself cost maybe like $3,000 or $4,000 compared to the $30,000 or $40,000 that is typical. So every opportunity of your life in personal finance, you have a choice. Do I take the path everybody else takes? And do I go ahead and book that really expensive caterer, that really expensive venue, or do I take the path less traveled by? And I try to take the path less traveled by, and it's been pretty exciting so far.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Sounds like it. Now, having excess cash doesn't always mean you have to spend it. And I think that's what people immediately, you know, when they get a bonus or they see there's some extra money in the bank, they feel like they got to go spend it and do something fun. Now, there's nothing wrong with, you know, you're working hard to go, you know, do something that makes you happy. But taking some of that excess cash and putting it in the bank and socking it away and doing some investments, something that not a lot of people think about doing.
Yeah. So what's crazy is people don't realize that when you spend something, say you spend $100, that $100, if you hadn't spent it, you could put it in a stock. You know, generally I encourage people to look at dividend paying stocks just because it gives you an immediate form of income without having to do anything. But if you put that in a say an AT&T stock is one of the examples I use in the book, and that pays a 5% dividend. So you're getting a $5 check to you in the mail. And that's crazy, right? But that's like going out and working a shift at your job. And if you have enough money in there, it's like getting like maybe a whole day's wage for doing absolutely nothing. And that's crazy, you know, just the whole process, the whole idea of income for not doing anything. And that's the way you have to really transform your thinking if you want to walk away from the 9 to 5 up to years early.
Now, you said you're talking to us from Iceland right now. Now, you're obviously on a trip, and there was some kind of motivation, obviously, that got you going out there. But, you know, you decided, and this is a decision you have to make to, I don't want to say live a simpler life, but living a more cost-effective life. It's not just about throwing money in the bank and savings, but you could actually go out and have some fun and do some things if you kind of control your finances. So that's kind of what you did to make this trip.
Oh, yeah. And just to give you an example of the way I've tried to make decisions here in Iceland to avoid it being super expensive, this is one of the most expensive countries in the world. Everything, you know, a drink is like $20. Going out, it's real expensive. Every meal is extremely expensive. But so far, I went to this underground Icelandic rap battle competition. I ate all these nice dinners with various people I met on the street corner. I had hiked a couple national parks and getting ready to go camp out in the wilderness and just hiked to the top of this amazing church in central Reykjavik where you can see everything for miles and miles around. And so far I probably have spent, this is my fourth day, in total I've spent less than maybe $80, including lodging. So
wow.
You just have to
wow.
do everything. Yeah, you just have to do everything on a budget. I got my flight over here for $199 on WOW Air, and then I got the connecting flight to Europe for about $100 with Norwegian Air. So that's right there, a week in Europe, including getting here for about $500.
So now, how did you find these airlines? Like, how did you find these airlines to begin with? I've never heard of WOW to get you there.
Yeah, I mean,
where did you fly out of?
It's definitely if you have substantial means, not exactly the best in the world, but it basically takes like the Spirit and the Frontier model. And
okay.
I saw it on Facebook actually, yeah. And so they charge you, you know, a little bit for everything extra.
Is there a seat? Is there a seat on the flight? Did you get to sit down?
Yeah, there is a seat, believe it or not.
Okay.
they basically take like you know, Spirit or Frontier, like, you know, very bare bones approach.
Yeah.
And I think they charge you like $40 for a bag larger than 11 pounds. So I got mine down to 10.6 and basically went over there. They don't have any entertainment in flight or any food. So I tried to sleep on the flight over. And yeah, they actually have pretty good flights. I'd really look into them. They fly out of, unfortunately right now, just DC and Boston, but they might expand that in the future.
So this is recent, you know, and I know because your book is published through, I think, Amazon Digital Services. This whole adventure, and this is what I love about this. Sometimes people write about their adventures, you know, years, decades later of what they did. This is what's been happening to you over the last.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely really recent, and you know, some folks out there might say, well, let's talk back to him again in 10 years when he's got, you know, a wife and kids and a you know, mortgage. But I think that the important thing is you know, I realized that I had this dream of traveling the world and walking away from a job that I wasn't crazy about. And I didn't see any utility in waiting and making that decision. I think that a lot of people would benefit if they tried to live their dreams now instead of later. And I think, I know I can do this for at least 15 to 20 years based off of just what I've saved and invested alone. And if I pair it with some work on the side, which is what I talk about in the book, doing some, you know, random web, sure, web developing or something like that, you can make a few thousand dollars extra and actually meet your financial needs completely from a couple hours of work a week.
So, Travis, one of the things you point out to get ahead financially that you touched upon before we went to break is to find a source of additional income to help you along the way.
Right, right. So when I was working, I realized that I could tutor on the side, and actually started off like about the same rate I was making at work. And then I found that I was getting a ton of interest, and so I just like increased my hourly wage until the point where I was just getting maybe a couple hours a week, and I could have had a lot more at around like $40 an hour. And I realized that was a lot more than I thought I was going to get. And I did the math, and I was looking at it one day, and I said, wow, I could pay my rent if I just got about, you know, 10 hours a week, and maybe some of my living expenses too. And I think a lot of people out there could do something similar if you have some sort of skill. Think about how many people need help with social media or something like that, even developing a website. You could charge for that service, and you could retire even earlier if you do that.
I've got a texter that is asking, let's see here. I got to get a little closer here. Let's see, Russ from 773, what is the best way to pay off incurred past debt, though, and current debt, such as student loans for graduate school? So if you've got that already built up and you're trying to live the simpler life, how do you balance that and also, you know, try to live?
Sure. Well, the great news is anybody can get on the right path to financial independence. It doesn't matter what your past experience has been. With student loans, I know a lot of people have a lot of student debt, and I'm fortunate that I didn't have to experience a lot of that. But if you do have it, what I would say is focus on the largest interest rates, obviously, first, because that's like earning a negative investment return, and it's very high, and it's probably even more than you can expect to get in the stock market investing. So before you start investing, if you have debt, especially if it's over 6%, you should pay it off as fast as you can. Credit card debt comes first because that's going to have the highest interest rate. But after that, student debt, because it's probably going to have the highest interest rate. And focus on the smallest loans. A lot of times you'll have a bunch of different ones. So to feel like you're making progress, maybe you take the one that's $5,000 and you pay that off first. And then the progress is going to be addicting.
That's some good advice. Carrie, you're on 720 WGN. You have a question for Travis.
Yeah, I do, David. I've been thinking about this recently. I'm 47, and I don't want to work until I'm 67. And I think we're setting ourselves up to a good road to be able to do that, maybe, you know, in 5-6 years. My question, though, is when you're talking about retiring so early, you know, right now everybody says, you know, there's a certain number. It's like $1 million now. But that's assuming that you're 67 to cover health care, taxes, mm-hmm. everything that you need to do. When you start mm-hmm. making that window so much bigger, how do you plan on, you know, because we don't know the uncertainty of what will happen. We don't know what health care is going to cost. We don't know what tax, don't know what the market will be like. So how do you, when you make that window 40, 50 years instead of, you know, 10, 15 years, how do you plan on that?
Great question.
Sure. So the interesting, with the new interesting changes in the healthcare law, if you basically set a floor on your income, and if it's extremely, extremely low, you're basically with a subsidy still able to afford health care. Hopefully I don't get in that case, but you have a floor now that protects you in the health care front. In terms of the expenses front, that's what's awesome about being able to have that side income job, even if it's only a couple hours a week to keep your skills fresh. It doesn't have to be, you know, hopefully it's something that you really enjoy. In my case, I really like helping people and tutoring people. So if you have uncertainty that works out against you, then you take that side income job and maybe you dial the hours up from like 2 to 5 hours a week to maybe 10 hours a week, which is still better than a 40-hour a week job, right? And on the other flip side of things, you could experience that the uncertainty works out in your favor, right? It's not just a negative what could happen if you do this 40, 50 years earlier. In theory, you could retire this early and join that rock band and find out that, wow, people actually like paying me for doing gigs. And so, yeah, there's also positive uncertainty, right? So I think that the best way to handle that is just having some sort of side gig that you can increase or decrease the hours for.
Jerry from Aurora has some advice for younger workers. Every time you receive a raise, put at least half into a 401k. After a number of years, the worker will have maxed out the 401k with very little restraint. At that point, investing into a Roth or other deferred tax investment will be a natural progression. So that's Jerry in Aurora. Now, you know, everyone should also plan to have an emergency fund, and maybe that's a great way to put some disposable income.
Absolutely. If you look at how most people finance themselves when they get in a big crisis situation, they turn to payday loans and they turn to credit cards. And those are the two worst possible ways to protect yourself in going to people that are lenders of last resort. So that's like in a lot of cases earning negative 18% or even negative, in some payday loan cases, maybe negative a couple hundred percent over a very short period of time. And so when you have that emergency loan, you don't have to turn to those lenders of last resort, and you also have the psychological comfort of knowing that you have money in the bank. And actually, if you look at the stats, it's crazy. Most people don't have that. Most people couldn't come up with $1,000 in a crisis situation.
True.
So really, that's really important to start off with that.
Another question you point out, which is brilliant, because I've asked this of people over the years too. You know, you have a college, so people have college degrees that they got, they spent all this money on, and you got to ask the question, are you using it or are you wasting it?
Right. Well, if you've already spent it, there's no use inquiring over spilled milk, right? Mm-hmm. So if it's already done, you should pay off that debt and just go ahead and do it. And when you're there, then you're starting from ground zero, and that's the point that when you can save a ton and you can actually walk away in 5 to 10 years' time. But if you've already spent it, just go ahead and bite the bullet and pay it down. There's a couple exceptions to that rule, like if you're doing something in a very low wage job, then there's some programs that you should talk to a student debt counselor about, like the income based repayment option is a one option if you make a very, very low income compared to your debt. But yeah, I mean, if you haven't gone already, go to a public school. If you have somebody in your family, you know, really encourage them to go to a place like one of the University of Illinois campuses. There just really isn't that much value in going to a private school these days, with the exception of maybe the top eight or like an Ivy League. There just isn't a big difference in value between the school you pay $20,000 a year for versus
sure.
$50,000 a year for if it's not one of those top few.
Now, one of the things you talk about, too, you're talking about, you know, you're in Iceland right now. You're taking your trip. You've spent very little money while you're there. I was just looking, if I looked at the next 20 years of foregoing Starbucks every day, what I spend at Starbucks every day, I could save $40,000 over about a 25-year period. I mean,
yeah.
That's pretty crazy when you think about that.
That's a lot, right? And what's even crazier is that at that $40,000 a year, if it had been invested right over a 25-year time period, and if you got about, you know, 6 to 8%, which is the long run expected return in the stock market that most people say these days, then that $40,000 is actually more like $100,000. So you take a look at that Starbucks and ask yourself, is that $100,000 cup, is it worth it?
Yeah, I'm gonna say no. Well, it's all about living more cost effectively, and you can get to a retirement a lot quicker. Travis Hornsby is the author. His new book is 25 is the New 65, How to Retire Outrageously Early and Do Whatever the Heck You Want. He's doing it right now. He's taking a little vacation in Iceland, and it's available wherever books are sold. Travis, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your trip.